The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, i.e. Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Purport. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Thus, one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee like Narada or Shukadev Goswami, and thus is empowered by one's spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. The comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is a very appropriate, and I think it's appropriate to this time in Ujjain when it's raining after. This is unprecedented, actually. It's not been raining here for a long time. So, this is autumn also. The comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy. But in the month of July, August, the autumn season, a bit late now, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water, like that of a metropolitan waterworks tank, can be cleared. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like the rivers. A powerful pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, in parenthesis, like the culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord, like Narada, Shukadev Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Not only were all the pure devotees like Narada, self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus. And thus they delivered many poor souls entangled in the material modes. They became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regular hearing and worshipping. By such actions, the accumulated material lusts, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of the living being, but he becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical processes. Such clarification of water may stand for the time being, and the sediments settle down. But by a slight agitation, everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being, there is a risk of becoming muddy again due to agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of
Maya.
No. Anyone following? Illusion. Srila Prabhupada King. Of course Maya is the same. Just the keeping everyone awake. So, Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Makam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langaite Girim Yat Kripa Taram Bande Shri Gurundina Charanam. By the mercy of Guru, a blind man can see the stars. A lame man can climb mountains. And a dumb man can speak poetry, hopefully. Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Govani Pishaya Levisnatius and Nivadi Prasachari Satari. So by my Shiksha Guru, His Grace Uttama Das Adhikari, who is in charge of the Guru seminars here in Ujjain Temple, I've been asked to speak His empowerment. So I've shown the topic of empowerment and found this nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which discusses empowerment. And I want to try and discuss this. Prabhupada is also, Prabhupada has explained it fully in this verse. So Prabhupada is saying one single pure devotee can deliver the whole world because he is empowered. So each one of us is trying to be a pure devotee. Is everyone here who wants to be empowered? Does anybody here wants to be empowered? Yeah, I think we all want to. But actually, I was reflecting on this. We already are empowered. The only problem is whether we're going to accept this empowerment or whether we are qualified to accept it. Just like this temple here in Ujjain. There wasn't here a temple in Ujjain before. One devotee decided, His Holiness Bhakti Chirusmai, decided that he would build a temple here. And he empowered by various means, making resources, bringing his disciples, organizing, finding persons who are qualified to manage the project, and so on, encouraging them, reviewing the project, looking at the plans. I'm sure he spent so much time here seeing the project come up. So he empowered this project to come up, and now he's offering an empowerment to all the people of Ujjain by this temple and by the holy name which he's brought here. So let's trace it back. So this is one of many ISKCON temples in India. How many ISKCON temples in India? Wow. I think you're almost catching up with Russia, no? This is one of so many temples that have come up. And Prabhupada started the ball rolling when he actually started the ball rolling. We can go back and back and back. How Prabhupada was empowered. How was Prabhupada empowered? Prabhupada got the thing going in India. Actually, he couldn't get it going in India very well. He was lifetime in preparation, but he only had one disciple, and that wasn't very fruitful. Fruitful, yes. It wasn't so fruitful. And so he was remembering the instruction that his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, suddenly preached in the English language. And he thought, well, this is the only solution. If I don't do this, then I failed. If I don't try and satisfy my Guru Maharaj, I failed. And as he was going across the Atlantic with the Srimad Bhagavatams, he was meditating on this. Actually, Prabhupada had to be empowered also. In India, I preach in Nepal a lot. Sometimes I go to Gorakhpur. There's Gorakhpur Press. In Gorakhpur Press, there's a picture of Prabhupada and Hanuman Prasad Poddar. Prabhupada wanted to print Srimad Bhagavatam. He had no money. He needed empowering by somebody with a donation. So he went to Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who was running the Gorakhpur Press, which prints many thousands of religious books. He asked for a donation. And there is Prabhupada and Hanuman Prasad Poddar in this picture. And Hanuman Prasad Poddar empowered Prabhupada. He gave him money, 8,000 rupees, for the first edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he carried across the Atlantic. And then, when Prabhupada was in the Atlantic, he wrote this wonderful prayer about empowerment. Shri Siddhanta Saraswati, Shachi Sutta Priyati, Krishna Sevaya Jara Tulanai, Se Se Mahanta Guru, Jagate Made Guru, Krishna Bhakti Dei Tai Tai. Tara Echa Balavan, Paschate Te Tantan, Hoi Jate Goram Geranam, Priti Viti Nagaradi, Asamudra Nadaladi, Sakale Loi Krishnanam. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world, in all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams. Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you can see how this empowerment is coming down through the disciplic succession by the order of the spiritual master. And it impelled Srila Prabhupada to do the impossible. And Krishna within his heart and outside his heart helped. He sent him some fallen souls to preach to. He guided some fallen souls to start looking. What is the absolute truth? Who am I? Why am I suffering in this world? Why? What is life? Why am I growing old? Why am I dying? Why do I have to die? These are the questions that Sanatana Goswami asked of Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi, just down the road, just up the road. This is east, west, north. This is north. North. East, right? North. So up there, northeast, you'll find the Ganga of Varanasi. Kayami Kaneyamaya Jari Tapita. Who am I? Why am I suffering in this material world? And Lord Chaitanya told him, Jivaraswarupa Hoy Krishna Nityadas. The soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, Krishna Tatastha Shakti, Veda Veda Prakash. Immediately told him, he gave him knowledge about himself. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he was empowered. If we go back further, Prabhupada was empowered by his spiritual master. Sanatana Goswami was empowered by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was empowered. Actually, Lord Chaitanya was Nimai Pandit. He was the biggest scholar. He defeated Digvijaya. Because, of course, Lord Chaitanya's incarnation of Krishna. Actually, it's not so much well known here in India yet, but this is our mission to introduce Lord Chaitanya, Gaunitai. Sometimes Krishna wants to experience his own beauty, his own love, and he wants to teach others about himself. So therefore he wants to start the Sankirtan movement. So Krishna Balaram, they come as Gaunitai, in the form of being devotees, in the form of devotees, to spread the Sankirtan movement 500 years ago. But even then, Sisi Gaunitai King, Krishna Balaram King, Sisi Radha Madamohan King, Giri Govardhan King. So Lord Chaitanya also was in power. He was a big scholar, and when he met his spiritual master in Gaya, in UP, sorry, in Bihar, South Bihar. Actually, he'd met his spiritual master before in Navadweep, Ishwarapuri. And he was very impressed by his spiritual master. And when he was doing pinda for his father Jagannath Mishra had passed away. Again he met his spiritual master. And he surrendered to him. And what was the first thing Ishwarapuri did with his disciple? What did he do to him? Did he say, "Oh, you're very nice, you're a great pandit, you're qualified to preach all over the world"? No. He actually chastised him. He said, "Murka to me, nahiva dantadikar, you're not qualified to be a pandit, to be a big scholar." First thing he did, he criticized him. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, what was the first thing Krishna did to Arjuna? When Arjuna was, you know, struggling to decide what to do. Bhagavad Gita is a story of empowerment. Bhagavad Gita is a story of empowerment. And the first thing Krishna did, asochas ambasochas tvam, pragyavadams chabasati. Gatasams, agatasams, chananu sochanti pandita. You're indirectly, Krishna told Arjuna, you're a fool. You're talking big, big sociological, political words and so on. It's mental speculation. Actually, you don't even know what is the soul. You don't even know the basics about life. You don't even know. And Lord Chaitanya also said, "Simply, you're a fool. You don't have a right to study Vedanta." And he gave him the Maha Mantra. He said, "Well, in this age of Kali, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalona seva nasseva nasseva, kichira nita." He initiated him with this Maha Mantra. So he empowered him. And he started to chant the holy names. And what happened? He felt ecstasy. But he was thinking what to do. What is this? Am I mad? Have I gone mad? He returned to his spiritual master. And his spiritual master was waiting there. And he was very happy to hear the inquiry, what I should do. And his spiritual master was very happy. "Yes, you developed love of Krishna. Now I'll empower you with more instruction. Nach gau bhakta sanghe kara sankirtan. Harinam upadeshi tara sarvajan." You dance and sing in the association of devotees. Distribute instructions about the holy names. Harinam upadeshi tara sarvajan. In this way you deliver the people. So you can see how this movement is being empowered. And here in this verse, we are hearing even further how Narada was empowered by Brahma. And Brahma was empowered by... Who is Brahma? Like Krishna, yeah. He was initiated by the flute playing of Krishna. And he could understand how to create. And then he spoke to Narada, and Narada spoke to Vyasa. Now I'd also have to chastise Vyasadeva. So Prabhupada was always chastising us to try and get us into a humble state of mind that we're such fools. And then he empowered us to spread this movement. And so this whole movement is an empowerment for us. It's a facility for us to empower others. It's actually this whole movement is Prabhupada's facility for us, resource for us to empower others, to find suitable people who are ready to chant Hare Krishna, ready to take prasadam, ready to take the books, ready to become full-time devotees, open new temples. There should be more temples. Only 17 in India, there's nothing. There should be thousands of temples, if not millions of temples in India. And not only that, in Africa, or to speak of Africa, there's virtually no temples. I think about 10 or 12, maybe maximum 20. And that's almost 1 billion people. Africa and so many temples, and all of them are facilities. ISKCON is empowering the people. People come in the door, they immediately become empowered. Here, chant Hare Krishna. And what does that chanting Hare Krishna do? It cleanses the heart. Actually, we're already empowered. Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Sajja Kabunai. We don't have to add the empowerment. Krishna's already there. It's just that Krishna wants to empower us, but we're so covered with lust, greed, and anger. These things mentioned in this verse. So this empowerment is like a flood. Autumn rains. Just like now here in Ujjain, the rains are coming. It's so refreshing, so nice. Nobody's complaining. We just walk out in the rain, it's cool, it's nice. We know it's doing good, it's providing water. So everybody needs, this whole world is a parched desert. And Prabhupada's temples are like oases where there's the rain of mercy, of Krishna consciousness is coming. And to cleanse the heart and awaken our dormant love for God and our gratefulness to Krishna. So that then we're inspired to give Krishna to others. So this is the process. It's a movement. I was reading Lord Chaitanya, a verse which really struck me very nicely. Prabhupada says that this Sankirtan movement is like a flood. And how does it work? Prabhupada gives an example, like the seed of sinful desire within the heart is there. We all have dirty things in the heart. And we're thinking how to get these dirty things out. And it seems impossible. But if you have a seed, you plant it in the garden, but it's flooded by a flood, the seed will drown. It won't be able to sprout. It'll just go rotten. So this is the dynamic of this Krishna conscious movement. It's very wholesale. It's very, how do you say, crude in a way. The whole idea is we just flood everything with the holy name, love of God, temples, books, prasadam. We just swamp everything. The Mayavadis, the students, everyone has to drown. All the dirty things in our heart have to drown. This is our mission. Sankirtan Yagya ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So thank you very much. I think it's time for one or two questions. 4 minutes. 6 minutes.
In translation, the word self-realized soul, when the holy name enter or sit on the lotus, the heart of the self-realized soul, then their lust, anger, greed, get cleansed up. My question, if they are self-realized though, then how come they are in, greed, anger, lust, to see mala or dirt? So the dirt is still there, how they are self-realized.
He's asking, is everyone here the question? I think so. That how is it we're chanting Hare Krishna for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, and we still feel there's lust, greed, and anger within the heart? We're very conditioned. We're somewhat self-realized by the mercy of the pure devotee, but. The holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, takes a little time to purify the heart. It is a process. We submit to the process. But in eternity, it's not so long. Prabhupada encouraged us. He said, in this life, if we follow strictly the rules and regulations, this is a technology. You see, I was thinking about this, just like Tata Company. The Tata Company, it just used to make trucks. And, you know, big trucks, and then it made motor cars. Now it made mobile phones. So it's a technology. Tata has empowered some people, and it's got it together to make mobile phones. So we're empowering people now with a new technology, better than mobile phones. Try and follow the four regs. Try and chant 16 rounds. If you can't chant 16 rounds, chant 2 rounds. Follow 1 reg. Follow 2 regs. Chant 4. It's a gradual process of self-realization. Self-realization comes as soon as you look at the temple. I see people walking outside there. And when they're on their morning walk, because there's some fat old ladies walking past, and fat old gentlemen, middle-aged gentlemen. But when they come to the in front of the temple, they go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then they continue walking. So, the medicine is coming, the technology is working. It may take a little time. After some time, they may come up the steps, and they may bow down. Just like in the famous story of Prabhupada in 22nd Avenue, when this old tramp came in and gave some toilet rolls. Prabhupada said, yes, your devotional service has begun. So when this empowerment is being done in modern society, they're empowering the scheduled castes in India. They're saying the scheduled castes, the more tribal people, they should get the jobs. Right? In Africa this is happening. This is one topic I was supposed to talk about. Is this notion of empowerment, which they have in modern society, is it the same as we have in ISKCON and in spiritual life? In one sense it is the same. Because these scheduled castes were just thought of as the scum of the earth. They were supposed to clean the toilets and do things like that. And in Africa, in colonial times, the Africans were also thought to be fifth-class citizens. So then in South Africa now they have empowerment program. And if you're a white man and you try and get a job in a big company and you have all the qualifications, you won't get the job. Because there'll be a black man with a black body, soul with a black body. He'll get the job simply because he may not be so qualified, but he'll get the job. But the idea is the same. They're trying to empower people to come up to civilization, become more educated and so on. Give them more opportunities. So our ISKCON society, we're trying to empower everyone to take up this opportunity of spiritual life, to become qualified and to do something for Krishna. And our spiritual masters also, this is our duty to bring other people up. We want to see others come up and become better than ourselves. Ishvara Puri was so happy that Lord, he had a disciple who actually had Krishna praying. He was just in ecstasy. He was trembling, his body was falling on the ground, his tears were coming from his eyes. And he said, I'm going mad, Guru Maharaj, what's happened to me? I'm going mad. He said, no, my dear child, you've actually developed love of God, I'm pleased with you. So the spiritual master, we should have this feeling of service to Prabhupada, that let us try and make one of our disciples please you very much. I may not be able to please you very much because I'm an old dinosaur. My heart is rotten and so dirty, it'll never change. But maybe I can help someone else come up. This should be our attitude in this country. to encourage new people to come, make them devotees, train them up. Maybe they'll become pure devotees before us. Let us become, servant leaders. Spiritual masters, we have to become servant leader, like Prabhupada. He was like a servant leader. He would, you know, Prabhupada would even wash the dhoti, sometimes would wash Brahmananda's cloth. He would cook for his disciples. He'd do so many things. There's so many stories. I don't have time now. Sorry. Yeah?
And one more question.
Yeah.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, that canto, the description of autumnal season, says that in autumnal season, the sky is totally clean.
The what?
In autumnal season,
yeah,
the sky is clean. The river, the mountains, they are full of water. And, there are, lotus flower and mount and so on and so forth. Now, in autumnal season here, if I heard clearly, that said by the water of autumnal season, but in autumnal season, usually, of course, you see a change like this one, that's a different thing. Otherwise, usually in autumnal season, there is only heat, and by that heat, the all dirt, settles down, comes down, and pure water comes up. And the comparison is here, the heat of holy name or the warming of the holy name cleanses the heart, which is filled with lust, anger, and etc., which are like dirt. And purifying people shed light. Because Bhagavatam said something, our bottom is different from here, that the rain of our comes here.
Now, the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, for instance, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumn rains upon pools of muddy water. Yeah, it's a very nice example. I don't see there's any problem here.
How to balance it? In Bhagavatam 10th canto, it says, autumnal season has no rain. Here it's the rain.
No rain?
Yes.
Up.
How to balance it?
Says that, I thought they did say there was rains. It does refer, in that book, Light of the Bhagavata, it also refers to rains. After the monsoon season, the autumn rains, the pools become clear. After the anyway, this is natural history. Bhagavatam natural history. Have to think about this one. We have to learn so much, so I can't give a, you've got me stumped there. Devakananda, thank you very much for putting me in place. Srila Srimad Bhagavatam Granthara is king. Yeah.